Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord, and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. I'm delighted you are joining us today. This is Conscious Cool Chic Radio. And it's based on the website of the same name, ConsciousCoolChic.com, where you can find a lot of spiritual and consciousness-raising information, a lot of free material as well, so be sure and check it out. Today's show is very special because we have an author with us today who has a lot of wisdom to share and has a lot to offer us. She just finished her debut book called Soul Journey to Love, 100 Days to Inner Peace, and it's by Dr. Irene Cohen. She is here today to speak with us about her book, about the process of writing this book, and more of her expertise on various other spiritual practices and modalities. I want to share with you a bit about this book. It's called Soul Journey to Love, and it contains 100 inspirational messages, processes, and prayers for you to reflect on and apply daily. So, Dr. Cohen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for being here. I've been looking forward to talking to you and hearing more about this book. I found it to be very, not only inspiring, but very digestible. And that's why I was drawn to it, because I like that it is a daily passage to read, and you can read it, well, I have read mine either in the morning, or I'll read it during a lunch break, or I'll read it in the evening before I go to bed. And it's like there's just so much good content that stays with me and is inspiring that I find it to be really easy to continually follow the daily ritual.
I'm so glad to hear that, Molly.
It's very...
That is the way that the book is designed, to be used as one passage daily or linger on a passage for more than one day if you so want to.
Yeah, it's a good book to highlight a lot of key phrases because it just has so much wisdom and knowledge packed into it. I want to give our listeners a little more information about it. The messages in this book were delivered and downloaded to Dr. Cohen through her divine guidance. And it's about quieting your mind and tuning into your inner voice and connecting to the part of you that is true love, that is God. It's about quieting yourself in a way and reminding yourself of essential messages that return you to your own wisdom and your own inner knowingness. It has a lot of rich content that when I read it, I find myself saying, oh, right, this rings true for me on many levels. So obviously I'm a big fan of the book, and I'm excited to talk with you more about how it came about.
Well, it came about through my meditation in the morning. I've had a meditation practice of one sort or another since the late 1970s when I learned transcendental meditation. But I haven't done a meditation with a mantra like TM for a very long time. But I had completed a course of study called The Voice for Love, taught by a couple, David Paul and Candace Doyle. And in that course, which was a one-year telecourse, we really learned how to hear our own inner guidance or higher self, or you could call it Holy Spirit. And the purpose of this was not to write from it, but really to think from that place and be tuned into that part of ourselves, which is our true self. So after I finished that course of study, I was meditating in the morning before going off to work, and words just started to come to me without my asking. And I had a real inner prompt to start to write these phrases and passages down. And I just kept following my own inner guidance. So I didn't know it was going to become a book, but at some point it became clear that that was the case. And so I kept writing until it was 100 passages, and it was the end.
Yeah, yes. And I noticed that you describe it as being divided into three parts and that it's a progression. So you read a daily passage and you're being guided along this, I think of it as a very gentle, loving path that takes you to a new place at the beginning of every section. Was that clear to you at the beginning that there would be three parts?
That wasn't so clear. I mean, it was clear to me at some point that I was getting some guidance that was just personally for me, and then I was getting information that would be part of the book. So that was very clear. And so I would write day one, and then I would write that passage. The next day, it might just be a personal message. The next day might be day two. So it was, for my own self, it was a progression. And about a third of the way into the book, it became clear that there were going to be 100 passages. It was going to be in three parts because I guess I was at day 40. And I don't want to say I was told. I mean, it was a prompt within me that basically made it clear that I was at the end of this first section, and the next section would have other information. So it's not as if I had to edit and move a lot of things around when I was finished with this. It just, I went where I was guided, basically.
Beautiful. Right. The flow was there, and you followed the flow. I noticed, too, as you mentioned in the book, that A Course in Miracles is part of the story. And was that clear to you at the beginning? You've been a student of A Course in Miracles for several years. So was that something that came out early on in the process, or was that part of what you were shown as this unfolded?
Yes. Well, as you said, I've been a student of the Course for several years, not as long as a lot of people. But the first time I had done, the Course is broken up into a text and workbook lessons and kind of other sections. And it's always very helpful to do the lessons. So the first time I did the lessons, I only got about halfway through. And I guess I just wasn't ready to go on or whatever. So I had made a decision to start the lessons over again in January of the year in which this book was written. And it did become clear to me that there was some parallel in the information that I was getting and the way the Course is set up, and that the information in the Course which isn't all that easy to read, was very helpful to me in receiving this material in a much easier way. You're saying it's digestible. I like to really break things down to the simplest manner possible. That's the way things work for me. So even in many things that I studied or techniques that I learned, I always liked the ones that were the simplest and the most direct. And so I did feel that the way that this writing was coming through me was very simple, very direct, just peeling away the layers of complexity and getting to the essence of what it was that I needed to hear, and I hope other people feel it, that it's helpful for them to hear also.
I relate to that. I like the direct messages as well, to strip away some of the flowery language and just get to the heart of what is needed and what the information is. I think that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed this and why I keep returning to it, is because I know I can get the information in a very loving way, and it is easy to absorb it and take it in without having to put a lot of mental work towards figuring it out. It's just, it's there, and it's so beautifully crafted. I really enjoyed how you use we a lot in every passage, and how that is the inclusive language that is included. That really stood out to me, because I think there is something so lovely about reminding all of us that we are in this together, and we are on this process, in this process together.
You know, it's interesting, because when I was studying with A Voice for Love and we were learning how to speak from that place of the higher self and the Holy Spirit, so we would do partner work with each other. Someone would ask a question, and then we would answer it. The other partner would answer it. For me, it always came out as we. And so when I started to write this book, it just naturally came out as we. And then when I was writing the introduction, I had to figure out why was that. I really didn't think about it so much, because it was so natural. So the way that I look at it is that, you know, I'm trying to be as close to being at one with God as I can be whenever I remember, but I'm really not all the way there yet 100%, and so the we is me and God.
Beautiful.
But it really is all of us.
Yes. Yes, that's really lovely. I can relate to that. And I think that it has the inclusiveness of the language, like I said, was very appealing to me. If you are just joining us, we are speaking with Dr. Irene Cohen. She is the author of Soul Journey to Love, 100 Days to Inner Peace. Dr. Cohen is a psychiatrist, acupuncturist, interfaith minister, and a student of A Course in Miracles, as she mentioned. This is her first book. It is a collection of daily passages and prayers that she's just released. And I'm so excited to be sharing this with you today, because the messages in this book are, I found them to be energetically layered, meaning as I was reading certain days and certain passages, I found myself taking it in on a few levels. It would connect with my mental level. It would connect with my heart energy. Sometimes it would affect something else within me physically. So my experience with this book has been very fascinating, because I think that, as you mentioned, because it's a guided information, it does have different parts of it that work with us. Have you found that at all?
Yes, well, to me, the direct experience of something, rather than just reading it intellectually or knowing something intellectually, is very important, which is an interesting thing for a psychiatrist and medical doctor to speak about. But I have found in my own spiritual studies over the years that the things that I could directly experience for myself are the ones that are really true for me. So even in reading A Course in Miracles, there's so much in the words that aren't even said or that one cannot even express in words. And in the Course it says words are just symbols of symbols. So I'm too humble to say anything like that's really going on in a book that I wrote, but...
No, I will say it for you.
Well,
just from my own experience that I'm sharing.
It's good to hear that that you've had that experience, because I think that that really was my intention. As well as the fact that after I finished the book and I was deciding what should I do with it, with publishing, whatever, I decided I should do the book. You know, I should be the first student of my book, because I had written it, but I hadn't really done it. So I actually went back for 3 months and worked the processes of this book every day. And it, for me, it was very interesting because I had not read over many of the passages as time went on. So here I was doing it as if I were reading it for the first time. And I have to admit, sometimes I came out with, I wrote that. What is that? What does that mean? But I did find that there were certain emotional things that came up that I thought were long gone and I had already dealt with a long time ago. Some very, you know, deep healings occurred during my my work through my own book after I had written it. And so I'm very aware that it can affect people on, you know, other levels. And some people have suggested journaling while doing it. And I think that if journaling is for you, that is a good idea to consider, because sometimes getting it out in your own words can be very helpful to pointing the way for yourself. So.
Yes, it leads to your own inner clarity and pinpoints maybe some patterns or themes that are ready to be upgraded, so to speak, and to get the most out of it. You can personalize this as you need to. I think it's very timely to have a book that spans 3 months available to us during 2012, during this year. Because we have a lot of talk about, you know, the end of the Mayan calendar and everything that's supposed to happen and could happen and might happen and all those probabilities and possibilities. But I feel that it's really about 2013. And where do you want to be to start new energetically? And what do you want to let go of this year? And what do you want to release for yourself and for your own growth? And this has been an excellent resource to dig into those parts of yourself that are really ready to be changed and elevated, so that you can start 2013 or sooner from a new place.
That's a very good way of looking at working through this book, I think. I am not spending too much time thinking about the end of 2012, I have to admit. But when issues about the end of the Mayan calendar started to surface a number of years ago, I remember being in a talk where someone said, and this still rings true for me, that what hopefully is going to happen are not the calamities and the outer world that, you know, some people fear, but really an inner transformation within people and within people's psyches about themselves and about an awareness, a new awareness about their true selves. So I think it's a very good way of looking at 2012 from a place of love and not a place of fear.
Yes.
In terms of transformation.
I agree with that. That is a very powerful statement and insight, is that it is about your inner transformation and focusing on how you are evolving and transforming on your own timeline, in your own ways, and to your fullest potential. And that is what I feel 2012 is about. And there are so many resources now to help us do that. But as I said at the beginning of the show, I really was drawn to your work because it is to the point, it is digestible, as I mentioned, and it's also practical. There's something about it that for me felt very doable and very loving at the same time. You know, it was just these gentle reminders about our experiences as humans and a reminder about how powerful we are as souls. There's just so much content in this book that I think it works with people where they are. And that there's so much here that, you know, you mentioned too in the introduction of this book that some days you might find yourself drawn to a certain passage or to a certain page. And I've always found those to be wonderful insights about what I need at that time. You know, when a book just opens to page 97, it's like, okay, I need to pay attention.
Yeah, and sometimes I think, you know, a phrase will just pop out at one. I think this is all part of following one's own inner guidance, because we're very caught up in thoughts and actions. And the whole first part of the book is really about quieting the mind and leaving the thinking aside, or letting the ego do its job, which is to think, but really being able to observe that and step aside from it, and then being able to go within more. So often, you know, you open a page of any book and read what's there, and that's what's meant for you in that moment. And those are signs that one should not discard.
Yes, I agree. Our guidance and our spiritual teams find many ways to communicate with us when we are open and willing to receive those messages and aware of them. I think that's a powerful reminder of what we need at that time. And it can sometimes seem disconnected to what's in front of us or to what is going on. And then later in the day, there can be a connection made where, oh, yes, I did read that this morning, and now, look, a few hours later, it's relevant to what I'm experiencing.
Well, that really is one's own intuition and inner guide giving information. So, you know, you may ask a question, but that doesn't mean you're going to immediately get an answer. It's going to happen in its own time. So that's also an important thing to know in terms of trying to turn away from the thinking and be more tuned into oneself.
I wanted to share with everyone one of my favorite passages. It's early on in the book. It's day 12. And again, we are looking at the book Soul Journey to Love, 100 Days to Inner Peace with Dr. Irene Cohen. And the passage that I really enjoyed that has stayed with me is day 12. Today we will concentrate on being with others and still retaining the sense of self while being in communion with them. You are all brothers cut from the same cloth. You are all a part of one universal consciousness. You will find that you retain your unique energetic signature, but that you have more in common with your brothers than you do not. You all have one mind, even if it seems as though you are separated. To enter into communion with another, you do not need to give up your individual energy. You do not need to relinquish who you are. You need only be in conscious connection with your own inner source and guidance at all times. When you forget, remind yourself to go back to it. When you forget, it is all right. And it goes on. This particular day is a few pages, but I really like that reminder about the connection between all with our own unique energetic signatures, and that the gentleness of when you forget, it is all right. And that's one of the reasons why I find so much good nuggets in this one, is because it has these little pieces of love that's interwoven. So I could go on and on, but I just wanted people to hear some of these insights and to know what is offered so that they can decide if it's something that they want to pursue.
Uh-huh.
Do you have favorite passages?
I do. One thing I did want to say is, you know, the first love we have to cultivate really is love for the self. And so, you know, the ego mind, the thinking, the conscious thinking part of us really moves us away a lot of the time from loving our true selves. And so this idea that we have this habituated way of thinking, and that's what we're going to revert to, and it's okay to forget the other way, just remind yourself, is a very easy way to kind of switch from one way of thinking to another. It's really not that hard to do.
Yeah, the mental practice, the meditation, anything we can do to return to that inner quiet and stillness that is always there. I mentioned in a previous show that I have a listening chair in my bedroom, and I like to sit there, even if it's for 5, 6, 7 minutes, and just be very still and very quiet. I usually focus on my third eye and direct my attention there. But just to give myself that inner peace during a very busy day in a very busy world filled with a lot of stimuli, I just need to go there and I can find it and be in that space very quickly, very easily. And it's a practice that becomes easier and easier. And I get some of my best information and reassuring insights through that practice. And it's open to everybody. You know, it's a universal ability that we can all tap into when we have the intention to do so.
That's very true. So I'm going to read from day 20. As I said, this is 100 passages meant to be read one a day. Day 20. You are pure love and devotion. In everything you do and think, be love, be devoted to love, and to the love of God. It is not hard, not as hard as you think. It is a choice, and it is the only choice. Think only of love. Think only of oneness. When you find your mind distracted by the world, stop the thinking. It takes an observant mind, that is all. You should have something to think toward, not something to think away from. You can do this by applying your mind and observation powers. You can just turn toward God at every moment that you can think of. You can see the love of God in every leaf, every turn on the highway, every interaction with others. You can choose to see God in everything at all times. So that's part of one of the...
That was gorgeous.
Section. Thank you. And I did want to read one of the prayers, if I could.
Please, yes.
The last section of the book are all short poems and prayers that just spontaneously came to me. Really one right after the other, day after day. This is day 79. Endless possibilities are before you because it has already happened. You just do not know it. No hoping or wishing is needed. No desires or longings belong. Just being here in this moment in time is enough. Just loving whatever comes before you. The world falls away and is replaced by a deep knowing, a loving understanding, of nothing and of everything. Stay here a while. Bring this with you whenever you recall. It will give you peace and happiness.
I feel another presence coming through you. It's obviously you speaking, but it's so much bigger than that, too. And I feel myself really relaxing in deeper muscles in my body, and so much care in the words. It's very lovely. It has an elegance to it that feels like divine guidance. And I'm getting tripped up on my words here because I feel so much coming through with it. But that was lovely. And I like all of these prayers because they each have something a little different and special to focus on. I think that they're excellent for keeping around the house. I'm someone who likes to tape up a prayer or an affirmation on the wall by my computer or on the bathroom mirror or in the car. I'm someone who likes to have these messages everywhere in my life.
Yeah, I think that probably there are phrases or passages or a paragraph that can really shout out to you and be the right one for you. And that's the way that I felt as this material was coming through me. I would not say this is channeled at all because I'm completely conscious when I'm writing or, you know, speaking from this place, but it really is a melding of my small self with a much larger self, my true self. And as you said, it really is available to everyone, but the clearing of the mind, to me at least, is a very important part of being able to contact that guidance that's within us, really, at
yes.
all times.
Yes. We are speaking with Dr. Irene Cohen, who is the author of Soul Journey to Love, 100 Days to Inner Peace. She is a psychiatrist, interfaith minister, acupuncturist, and student of A Course in Miracles. And I'm curious, how has this experience of writing this book affected your medical practice? How has that influenced your work?
Well, I have studied a lot of different esoteric and other spiritual things over the years, and I always have tried to find a way of integrating that into what the work that I was doing. So, for example, years ago I studied Qigong, which is Chinese meditative movement, and just the whole idea of expanding out into the universe, bringing that energy into the body was very important to me in working with people. I worked with people both traditionally and with energy therapies like EFT for a long time. As I've gone on and on, realizing it's not so much about techniques, but really about what's in the mind and clearing the mind. It's really just being there with someone and seeing them for the light that they are. At the moment, I'm doing a lot of nursing home consultations, so I'm working with a lot of elderly people, you know, some of whom are not so consciously with us anymore. But it doesn't really matter because to me, I feel like I'm bringing the light of the world to them, and we're just sitting there. It's hard to explain, but you know, part of this is being A Course in Miracles student and really trying to apply the course to my life as much as possible. And I do it in my work because if we are really all of one mind, then what the other person is experiencing is really what I'm experiencing. But that doesn't mean that I'm suffering with them, more that I'm seeing them for who they truly are.
Exactly, yes. And what a gift you are, your energy, especially to people at different phases in their life, and to be able to see their light and to know the true essence of who they are, even if their physical body or their mental body is changing or has the appearance of being in decay or something. You have that energetic presence that knows who they really are and what they're really experiencing because of the connection we all hold.
Thank you.
You can all, to our listeners today, I wanted to point out to you that on Dr. Cohen's blog, she shares a thought a day. And sometimes these are quotes and sometimes they are a longer passage, but you could follow along on her blog and read some of her insights there. You can find her at drirenecohen.authorsexpress.com. There's a link here on the Blog Talk Radio show description, so you can just click over there. That's drirenecohen.authorsexpress.com. And she is also on Facebook, where she shares a thought a day, and on Twitter. So wherever you are, you can connect and follow along with her there. And if you're interested in the book, you can find it on Amazon. It's sold where books are sold these days, which is online mostly. So check it out. You can order the hard cover, soft cover, either one, and I like to highlight things, so that's my preference, is to hold something and be able to highlight these passages. The hardcover looks really lovely. It looks great. It's a nice, sturdy resource.
It's available on Kindle also. So it's totally electronic. You can have it on your cell phone.
Perfect. Everything is on the cell phone these days, so we can read inspirational thoughts there, too. We are coming up against our time, although I feel like we could keep talking because there's so much good information to share in this book. I really would like readers and listeners to know that this is one of those books that you probably could continually reference for the rest of your life. And because there's just so much content, and every time you read a passage, more information springs forth. So if this calls to you, if you're someone who enjoys daily routines that involve these messages and prayers and processes, you will probably get a lot from this book, and it's been delightful for me to read it and to talk about it. So I also want to let people know that Dr. Irene Cohen is going to be one of our presenters at the Conscious Wisdom Festival next week. She's going to share more information about her process and give you some tips on connecting with your inner voice. And she's also going to share some more insights about her spiritual expertise. So if you'd like to learn more about her offerings, please connect with us at the Conscious Wisdom Festival, August 14th, 15th, and 16th. You can find information about that on consciouswisdomfestival.com. So thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Molly, for having me. I've really enjoyed it tremendously, and I hope that I've been of help to others.
Definitely. I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for many people who reach out to me and say that they appreciate getting more information about books and resources that they can tap into to help them connect with their spiritual self more. That's what many people are searching for these days. So this is a timely book, and I wish you much success with it.
Thanks so much.
We are going to dive into our astrology part of the show coming up next. I'm going to take a quick break. Thank you again to Dr. Irene Cohen for being here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We are back. Quick break is over. And now we're going to take a look at our astrology charts. I invite you to go ahead and grab your astrology chart. If you don't have it in front of you right now, Not a problem. You can grab it and come back and listen to this show again, starting about the, I think we're at like the 38-minute mark. So come back and listen when you have it in front of you, and then you'll get the most out of this part of the show. So every show we talk about astrology, and I wanted to focus on the location of your sun in your chart. And that's because we are in the astrological sign of Leo right now, and Leo rules the sun. So there is a lot of natural energy going on right now related to your life force, also known as your prana, to who you are, your self-identity. The sun is all about our overall mission in life and what we are here to do right now and what our soul chose for us to focus on. So what we're going to look at is where your sun sign is in the astrological chart. There are 12 different houses within a chart, and I like to think of them as slices of the pie. And so you have signs all around your astrological chart, all around the perimeter there, and they influence the energy of your chart, and they influence the energy of the houses that you have on your chart. And then another layer to that are the planets and how they interact and the houses and signs they are in. So astrology quickly snowballs into this complex formula when we're looking at an individual natal chart. So we're just going to take one component of that right now to give you a little bit more information about yourself so that you can figure out more about what am I here to do? What is my life focus right now? And all that to say, your sun sign will show you where you are here to focus and develop in which areas of life. Now, I'm not going to be talking about your sun sign, which is related to when you were born. I'm not talking about that, but that is a very important part of your overall energetic imprint, obviously. Instead, we're just going to look at the area of life where you chose to exert your self-identity and to grow in ways that will both challenge you and reward you, okay? So you'll see on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow, I put up a symbol of the sun. It's essentially a circle with a dot in the middle of it. So find that on your chart. And when you've located it, you can probably figure out what house it's in. We're going to start with the first house. If your sun is located in the first house, this is really about developing your personal identity. Your life path revolves around developing yourself, presenting yourself, your energy, your style, all the ways that you exert and present yourself in the world. Related to who am I? Who am I here to be? What is my relationship with myself? What is it that I am here to develop and grow? And how am I using my energy to fulfill that? The highest expression of this house is that you are here to develop yourself in such a way that you are able to obtain and have a very strong sense of self-knowingness, and that you use that to benefit other people and to be a leader, potentially be a leader, but also to be someone who is very confident in their own skin. So if your sun is in the first house, you're really here to work on your self-identity and to develop that inner core based on I am. Who am I? Then we move into the second house. If your sun is in the second house, this is the area that focuses on our material circumstances that we're born into. It's about possessions. It is about emotions. It's about self-worth, finances, relationships. This is about how you value yourself and how you use that to create a strong grounding of your energy. This house is related to practical applications. It's about keeping things simple and in harmony. You want to be developing and working on your own self-value and building that up in a very strong way. You probably will be or have been given tests around that to make sure that you're really getting the most of who you are by remembering that you're worthy and you're valuable. And those tests can come through possessions, through personal resources, financial circumstances, a variety of different means. It's about how you value you. In the third house, we move into our mental processes. And if your sun is in the third house, you could be interested in really developing your communication abilities, your intellectual aptitudes. This is a house where you feel a lot of stimulation and energy from change, from daily routines. You like your immediate environment and you perhaps want it in a certain way. Siblings are associated with this house, so if you are you are someone with brothers and sisters, they could play a role in developing your self-identity. There's also a sense of energy and excitement about this house where you want to be moving. And that could be with travel, short-distance travel, namely, and being active. It's a very active house. So this is someone who wants to be moving in the world and be out there and have a connection to their community. If your sun is in the fourth house, this centers on your roots and where you come from. This is about creating a comfort zone for yourself and sacred space that supports and values who you are and what you need. Your family will play a big role in that. Mother and father will be primary role models and will affect greatly your self-identity if your son is in the fourth house. This is where we want to plant ourselves, where we get our roots, and we want to have a foundation. There's lessons here that could revolve around karma with family. Karma with feelings that need to be processed and moved through. This house is also related to real estate and home, so those are probably some important areas of life for you if your sun is in the fourth house. In the fifth house, your sun and your self-identity is really concerned with self-expression, with being me in the world, with sharing my gifts and my creativity. It would be important for somebody with this position to be exploring their creativity, to be exploring how they are artistic and what risks they are willing to take to assert themselves and demonstrate their talents. This is also a house about love, lovers, taking risks in love, associated with sexual activity, with pleasure. It's a very fun-loving energy at its highest expression. Some earlier lessons in life as you're growing could be situated around taking risks, being stubborn, being arrogant, being too prideful, getting stuck in thinking it's only about yourself and what you need and that everyone should look at you. Instead of understanding that there is room for everyone's creative expression and it's all needed. That's the fifth house. So now we're going to move into the sixth house. If your sun is in the sixth house, this signifies that you're really here to do some work. And work could show up in any variety of means and any number of combinations. It would depend on your natal chart. But it's associated with work and with being responsible and disciplined in a very practical way. It's about being of service and following through with your responsibilities. This house is also associated with our physical health. with diet, hygiene, exercise, hobbies. It is a house where you feel the commitments of the world, and that excites you, and you want to be doing routines that are practical, that are organized, that are efficient. You could be looking for ways to fit into a structure where you feel safe being of service and that your self-identity really thrives in that environment. Now we're going to move into the seventh house. And the seventh house is the domain of relationships and partnerships. This is where we learn the give and take. And so it's commonly associated with working with others, whether in business or in personal life, to develop your self-identity as a, I don't want to say a comparison, but as an assessment. You're looking at what do they do and what do I do. You're looking at others to work with and to show you the way. Now, there could be a need here to always be in relationship or to forget that you are an individual sovereign being and being in a relationship does not define you, but there's a natural pull to being in a relationship because the self-identity really thrives in that. The seventh house is about sharing with others and following through on negotiations and contracts. There's an interdependence that goes on here. And so your greatest life experiences and lessons will come through working with others and relationships that help you to grow and form your own identity through them. Now we look at the eighth house. And the eighth house has a lot of depth to it. It's a very deep part of the chart. There's lots of undercurrents in the eighth house. And this is where we go into working with others and merging together to determine who am I, how do I operate in the world, and what do I share with others, and how do I give and take in a way that is very, it could be very deep, but it's more psychological. It's more about the deeper transformation that takes place while working with others. The eighth house is associated with sexuality, life and death, other people's money, other people's stuff, investments, taxes, other people's opinions. You could have a real desire to explore mysteries, deep issues, taboo subjects. This is where there's a lot of stuff happening under the surface. And your sun sign in the eighth house signifies that you're here to do some deep personal work to get to the layers of who you are. This can show up in a variety of different means. But it's a very introspective house that requires you to look within yourself, to get below the surface and look at your real core purpose, your real core experiences, and then how do you share those and work with others. So there's an intensity with this, with the eighth house. Then we move into the ninth house. And if your sun is in the ninth house, this is where your self-identity and greatest growth would come from: higher education, religion, philosophy, looking at something from a very broad perspective and looking at the belief structures around them. This is about searching for what is outside of you, the bigger picture, the bigger meaning. You want more understanding. This is often associated with a philosopher, with someone who is looking for the big picture and takes you away from the small everyday tasks. This house is associated with adventure and travel, so some of parts of you might really feel invigorated by exploring, getting out into the world, meeting people from different cultures. All of those experiences can really form who you are and tap into your adventurer. This sign is also associated, or this house is also associated with exploring the great outdoors and going for long walks and hikes and hunting. It's about getting out of the house and out of your mind and going into the world for bigger definitions, and then seeing where you fit into those bigger definitions and what works for you, what you associate with. There could also be some self-righteousness in this house, believing that what I believe is the best and the only thing that matters. That is a lower expression of having your sun in the ninth house. But on the other side, you could also be very accepting and open to all beliefs and all ways of viewing the world. Now we move into the 10th house. And if your sun is in the 10th house, this would signify a very strong desire to grow and learn through your career. This is about personal authority, about status and recognition, about externally manifesting your skills in the real world and being a role model. You want to be seen as an expert and as an authority. The 10th house signifies our occupations and ambitions. So somebody with the sun in the 10th house is really concerned about their career and what they're doing in the world and what they are contributing, the responsibility of that, and the leadership ability also. So the 10th house is really centers around how you develop your self-identity through career, and remembering that that is a part of your personal authority, that to not rely too much on what is outside of you to define you. Don't attach yourself to a rank or a title. You know, the balancing side is that you have to also know that you have those qualities within and that you don't need external validation to get that reassurance that you are recognized and that you are valued. Now we're going to take a look at the 11th house. And the sun in the 11th house is about our community at large. This is about acquaintances, friendships, humanity, social consciousness. There's a need here to be active and to support charities, to give back and be of service, to highlight bigger issues that concern many people. The sun in the 11th house is about making a difference and relating to the collective. There's a community-ness, a community-centeredness about this. If your sun is in the 11th house, your friendships are probably very important to you. What you do and how you give back to the world is probably on your mind. Perhaps you've been a volunteer or worked with organizations that are socially conscious. The 11th house is also very energizing and has a lot of spiciness to it. So know that when your sun is in the 11th house, you probably have a lot of energy to share and to give to people. And then we come to the 12th house. And if your sun is in the 12th house, there's a very different energy here. This is about metaphysical concerns and going beyond what you can see. There's a lot of creativity here. There's a lot of sometimes karma. There can be reincarnation comes up. You could be going through different issues many times. This is a very spiritual house. And as a result, you might need a lot of time alone. You might appreciate solitude and want to be in your own space. Being concealed from public view could be desirable. The subconscious really thrives here, and there's a really strong ability to tap into your inner voice and to be psychic, to know more about the world that cannot be seen. So that is the sun in the 12th house. And I just gave a brief overview, essentially, of what each house symbolizes and the energy of each one, because I wanted to get you thinking about your own self-purpose and what you can learn from this position. There's a lot more information about it, of course, and I do astrology sessions, so check out the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com, if you want to look into more astrology information or if you want to schedule a session with me. I'd love to meet people from all over the world and empower them any way I can. So thank you for being here today. That is our show. Thanks again to Irene Cohen for being our guest, and I hope that you will join us next week as we talk about some more fun consciousness-raising issues. Have a great week. Thanks.
Moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment.